everybody. Welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes, and I'm joined by Augie, my old pal, the man in the sidecar, the rear gunner, you know, the man with the plan. And Augie's actually just back from Africa, where he was involved in RT's, you know, Africa Awards, the media awards in Africa. What a place, what a continent. Hello to everybody watching. We know you guys are really interested in what we're doing here. We really appreciate it. Augie, how many countries, how many people are watching us in Africa right now?
I'd say around 40 countries, which means around 400 million people. Hello, guys.
Let's have a little look at the event that was put on. Really, really something. Run it, Augie.
Storytelling was born.
Wow, it's something else, isn't it?
And from here...
Wow, pretty cool.
...traveled across the world. Welcome to the African...
Told you, dude, we made it like Golden Globe.
Ooh!
It is a...
Why wasn't I invited?
...to deliver the opening remarks of the African media...
Why wasn't I invited?
Oh, sorry, no white, pasty, red-haired Irish people allowed. No Anglophones.
Why are you gay? Why are you gay?
That's why we didn't invite him.
Journalist, producer of all the continent, and we did it. This process which started some months ago.
Now, of course, you guys are watching us from Indonesia, Africa, you're in Spain, South America, Venezuela, ciao, Italia. Yeah, why not? Everybody's having a look in secretly. I think we're a bit of a guilty pleasure, Augie. So many people are sort of putting in the comments, I hate you so much. Sounds like a kind of an ex-girlfriend. You're only a little hair away from love and hate, right, Augs? You know all about that.
Just make sure you watch the entire episode before writing us how much you hate us.
Yeah. Anyway, on with the business of being on the people who pretend they hate us but secretly love us. And where else would you go but Poland, glorious old Poland. Probably one of the only countries that actually invaded Russia, but we're going to get to that in another program. Watch this space. Yeah. And, you know, they kind of do really have it in for Russia, right, Augie? Now, I've got some sort of ideas about why that might be the case. What do you think, Augie? Any particular insights into why Polish people might hate Russia so much right now?
I think they hate us because they cut out Russian energy and suddenly the prices went up. Putin went to Poland and rose the prices up.
Yeah.
So now Poland pays around 25 euros per 100 kilowatts per hour. To compare, in Russia, we pay around 7 to 8 euros
ooh,
per 100 kilowatt
ooh,
per hour.
Oh, that's sore. Maybe Mr. Radek Sikorski should say, thank you, USA. Yeah, Radek Sikorski, who was educated in the UK, is an MI6 officer. Well, that's what, you know, most people think. And was a good old classmate of Boris the Butcher. It's all working out beautifully for the Poles. Now, when your electricity is so high, Augie, you got to find another way to feed the old the shack. You know, because these days, a lot of Russian drones landed on the roofs. They're not breaking the tiles, just delicately landing there, like just on their own, like somebody put them there. But we're not saying they did. Even the fact that they don't have any propellers on them, maybe that's a bit of a giveaway. Yeah, you need a way to heat the little shack there in the borderlands. What better way? What better way to heat that little dacha? Am I allowed to call it a dacha because it's Poland? I'm sure it's the same kind of language. You need to throw something on the stove. Augie, any ideas what we might chuck on?
I think the next video shows you perfectly what's the go-to.
Run it, Uggs. Right, here we go. Bastard. How dare you? Sacrilegious. Bit of heat off that. Nice bit of heat off that, Augie. Nice bit of heat.
Remember that time when the whole bookstores were filled up with the books about Zelensky, yeah, the hero of freedom? What happened?
Yeah, Churchill. Churchillensky. Now, meanwhile, just across the border in the glorious center of freedom, democracy, liberty, human rights, and religious freedom of expression, Ukraine. Yeah, no corruption, by the way. No Nazis. Right, Augie? We've got to get all that straight, because that would be propaganda for us to say that. Not like all the other newspapers who are now agreeing with us here on the Moscow Mules. They're not Kremlin assets. They're just telling the truth because they hate corruption. Yeah, my ass. Things are going from bad to worse in the Ukrainian base camp. You might find yourself feeling a little bit under pressure, right, Augie? If you're a good-looking young man like you, trotting around the streets, trying to avoid getting dragged off to die for Mark Rutte, Ursula von der Leyen, and Boris the Butcher Johnson. So you might find the stomach gets a little bit irritated. You know the way sometimes when things are going a bit tough in life, you might find yourself a bit irritated, and you might need to use the old toilet a little bit more than often. So, you know, you see one on the street, Augie, right? And you you go in the door, in good old the Centre of Freedom, Liberty and Democracy, Freedom, Human Rights, Civil Justice and Gayness. You're allowed to be gay in the Ukraine now. And you go straight through the door of the toilet. And what happens, Augie?
You get absolutely drafted.
You get drafted. Now, I'm not talking about when you drop your trousers, you feel a bit of a draft. You literally get drafted. No, run the video, Augie. There we go. Toilet. Где toilet? Пожалуйста. Toilet.
Well, I guess that's where you have a go. That's the moment you take a go.
Yeah. And you might ask yourself, right, why exactly does Zelensky need to turn public toilets into draft stations? You know, we didn't make this up. This would be a bad, if Augie came to me with that idea, let's pretend, I say, no, that's unbelievable. This is real. Augie, why exactly do you think that Mr. Zelensky needs to even pull people out of the toilets? That could be a bit dodgy. I wouldn't say pull people off the toilets or pull people off in the toilets, but pull them out of the toilets. Anyway, well, yeah. Augie, why do you think that might be the case?
I believe, Che, the case is that Zelensky is running out of people to throw into meat grinder. Uh-huh. And suddenly, a lot of Ukrainians don't want to be thrown into meat grinder. So Ukraine has been suffering to the rising number of people going AWOL for deserting. Last numbers say it's around 180,000 people who have deserted within the span of September 24 to September 25.
Wow.
And if you read this Al Jazeera article, it has even the Ukrainian commander, you know, the person who is most brainwashed out there, saying that even Russians don't have this many soldiers deserting. You know, yeah, what it means if the Ukrainian commander is,
yeah,
saying that.
Yeah. Actually, if you look at the numbers, the Ukrainians now have less soldiers on the front line, probably, than they do who ran away. Now, of course, if I got pulled off my delivery bike, or I was out wheeling my kid around, or, you know, picking mushrooms somewhere, and some big bloated Ukrainian neo-Nazi tried to pull me off the front, I'd either knock his teeth out, or as soon as I got there, I'd give him the old lead sleeping pill, let's say, and take off back home. So best of luck to all the boys who said no, no, no to NATO. Well done. So, coming out of the toilets and onto the streets of, the wonderful Center of Freedom and Democracy that is Ukraine, you might go down the street, Augie, and take a left. There's a big ballroom there. And Augie says, you know, there's no ballroom down there. And I said, you're not wearing the tight trousers where there is actually no ballroom tonight. There is a ballroom. And in that ballroom and this beautiful theater, you can see a certain Mr. Kuleba. Now, Dmytro Kuleba, correct? He's a very interesting guy. He said, as you can see, if we run out of weapons, we're going to fight with shovels. Now, they complained about the Russians fighting with shovels, these hypersonic shovels the Russians were fighting with. But all Dmytro decided that if we run out of weapons, we will fight with shovels to the very end. Now, in the meantime, he f***ed off to the United States of America, I think to either Yale or Harvard, and got a big whopper of a job. Spent most of his time over there. Most of his family have nothing to do with the front. But he was spotted recently, very interestingly, doing his thing for the war effort, right? Yeah, very patriotic, this. Check him out in his tuxedo, in the lap of luxury, with, let's face it, a pretty attractive lady. I mean, we, you know, let's call a spade a spade. See what I did there? I'll fight with shovels. Spade a spade. Anyway, check this out. Here is the man who said he would die in the trenches with an entrenching tool in his hand to the last tooth in his head. This is the Ukro scam in action. Run the video, Augie.
This is what the Ukrainian soldiers are dying for.
I mean, she's
just stop looking at those and give a commentary.
Okay. Yes, I think that this is an incredibly disgusting demonstration of how the Ukrainian elites are basically partying with their hot chick friends, while everyone else is basically gone down the pipe. So outside of the theater, when you come out onto the streets, if you don't get abducted, shot by a criminal, or to Israel with $100 million stuffed up your jumper, you get the sense in Ukraine of the great popularity of Zelensky, right? Like he's an exceptionally popular man. Now, he's very popular when his own friends institute, Kiev Institute of Democracy Studies or whatever the f*** it's called, comes out with a poll that says, if I sign this deal for peace and cut off the supply of millions and millions of dollars and all my properties and all the show corruption that I'm involved in and have to stop the war and, maybe end up in front of a jury somewhere. I will be attacked by my own people. Yeah, this is what he's saying, right? He's saying that the very convenient number, Augie, 51% of people in Ukraine would be so angry with Zelensky for ending the chaos, the killing, the mass exodus of human beings, the destruction of entire cities. You know, Ukraine's getting smaller every day that this little green goblin is in charge. Every day, Ukraine gets smaller. Russia gets a little bit bigger just this way. And where's old Mr. Zelensky, Augie?
Asking for money, as usual.
He's on a begging tour. Another one. Yeah, it's getting so boring. It's just everywhere he goes, he's just got the hand out. He liberated, $125 million from Ireland. Thanks a lot. I mean, come on, give me a break. How did he manage to smuggle it out in a tracksuit with no pockets in it? But when he's in the UK, okay, everybody's got to get kept away because nobody even wants to wave a flag for this little narco-fuhrer anymore. It's becoming a complete show. The only people that support this man are the other corrupt elites in Europe. It seems absolutely obvious. Even the house cat in good old number 10 said, "F this." They do say that cats have a specific sense of evil and will remove themselves from the presence of evil. Check out the cat in the next clip. He knows something, you know? Run the video, Augie. Here we go. Watch the cat. There he's gone. I can't get the cat. I can't get the...
Mr. Starmer, will you promise
He's not getting the monies from the car. Now, when you see the door of number 10, right, Oggs, you see a very hollowed place. This is a place where very important people have stood over the years. Great leaders, you know, Lloyd George, great Welshman, actually. He wasn't even English. You've had Gordon Brown, a great Scottish man, Tony Blair. Sorry, I just got sick in my mouth. And of course, you had old Boris Johnson, another exceptionally talented statesman. And no, he's not. He's a horrendous cretin, a buffoon, a bleach blonde halfwit who sort of rose to the top like other sorts of material tend to do when you take a dump in a toilet of the British political scene. Boris the Butcher, the man who stopped Ukraine signing a peace deal in 2022, could have saved a lot of people's lives. Also, Augie, I think he just happened to bring the man who gave him £1 million, the biggest political donor donation in the history of British politics was given to Boris the Butcher, I imagine. But just an ordinary friend, right, Augie? That man had nothing to do. He was just an ordinary businessman.
Yep, just a regular, ordinary, run-of-the-mill British businessman who owns a drone production facility. And I believe Boris took him to Ukraine.
Of course, as you do. Yeah, so nothing to see here in Ukraine. But, you know, what we're interested in here and what Augie's pointed out is the way Boris has always rolled out as the laughing clown, the funny guy, the guy that you'd like to sort of have brought home by your daughter, you know, a bit of an idiot, but a nice idiot. So, you know, stuck on the zip wire, you know, making a fool of himself all the time. Check out the, there's one side here is the Boris the Buffoon, the other side are the graveyards in Ukraine. You know, most of the people that are dead probably aren't even been found yet. They're probably decaying in ditches. This is the reality of who this man is. And he's done it again. I just think people are getting sick of this, right, Augie?
I for certainly am.
Yeah. Well, let's let all our friends from around the world decide for themselves, Augie. Run the video. There we go.
Yeah, look, now he's dressed as a fairy. Isn't it nice? Don't you like this politician now?
Oh, yeah, I love him. It's like Uncle Adolf, you know? Petting his Alsatian dog or rubbing the head of a child. and then off to exterminate 600,000 Jews in the local village. As you do. Well, you know, at least if you exterminate a couple of hundred thousand Jews like they did in Babi Yar in Ukraine, you know, you'd actually get a medal or a street named after you. Now, talking about wackos, have a look at the next video. Augie informs me this is a model of a German Rheinmetall, one of the biggest defense companies on earth, making a ton of money in old Ukraine, Augie, I say. Yes? Of course, oh boy. Like the rest of them. It's an advent calendar. You know, you open a little door every day. Maybe on this one you open it up and there's a dead Ukrainian. Maybe there's a dead Canadian, a dead American, a dead British kid who was stupid enough to believe that he was going to fight Darth Vader. But no, inside are chocolates. Now, an interesting story about these prototypes, five of which were sent to Ukraine, right, of the actual real armored fighting vehicle. But something seemed to happen. Now, there was some sort of procedural problem, right? They sent five of them so that the Ukrainians could copy them and make tons more. They sent a lot of money with them and said, now, you guys make your own ones of these, take them and win the war against Russia. No problem. No problems, says Zelensky. But something went wrong, Augie.
Yes, I would say it's a Ukrainian Christmas miracle, but the funds have disappeared again.
Okay, so they sent the money, but the money's gone. What happened to the money? I don't know. I don't know what happened to monies. Just send more monies. Replace the monies. If you won't give me the monies, lend me the monies. Remember that, Chestnut? Yeah, for real. Anyway, happy Christmas. Alles klar. Run the video, Augie.
This guy is Henry Schmidt. He's a member of the Merz Party.
Of course. Oh, yeah, das ist also so guten.
How can anyone look at Germans doing this again and being like perfectly fine with this?
Yeah, why would you say that, Augie? The Germans are absolutely peace-loving people. They've never been involved in any... Now I get it. Now, it's interesting that the two protagonists, if you like, in the First and Second War, Britain... and Germany, you know, I always say this, I'm always reminding people that the Anglo-Saxons, Saxonies and German, the Brits and the Germans are basically cousins. They're the same people. They're not Celts, you know, they're not, Spanish, they're not Espanol. These guys are Germanic. These are Germans. They're all Germans, the English and the Germans. Now, they've made a show of Europe on two occasions. Where the two cousins in the First War decided to have a bit of a family spat and ended up killing millions of people. Second time round, Uncle Adolf decided, you know, he was unhappy with the deal from the first one and he's made a screwball of it. The Americans stepped in, rebuilt Germany. The rebuilding of Germany, of course, was done with cheap Russian energy, essentially. The whole beating heart of the German economy was created with Russian energy, which they've now cut off. So it's gone from bad to worse. Now, so maybe it's no surprise that Der Spiegel, which is a very important and very famous publication in Germany, now has the American president and the Russian president. By the way, it was the Americans and the Russians who liberated Germany from itself. Okay, talk about an intervention. Yeah, it was the Russians who intervened to kick the ass of the Germans liberating Berlin. And the Americans on the other side, obviously assisting Russia, very much so. And now, in 2025, on the front of a German magazine, a rearming Germany, remember, Augie, which is always a good thing to see Germany spending billions on weapons. Always a good thing. It's always going to end well, right? Now we've got these two sort of previous liberators of Germany on the cover of a magazine. I wonder what's going to happen next, Augie. Third time lucky? You never know. Run the video, folks. Here you go.
Two villains, one goal.
Yes. Yeah.
We gotta love this.
Kind of spooky. Kind of spooky. But here, you know, the other thing that President Putin and President Trump have in common right now is what? That they're talking peace.
Horrible.
Oh, we're not allowed to say that, right?
Is talking peace a war crime now?
Yeah. No, you can't do that. Because if we actually say the word peace, we get banned in Europe. Because that's seen as hate speech right now. Hate speech against Zelensky and the rest of the warmongering bastards who are, you know, basically living on human tissue.
You don't want to hurt Ursula's feelings.
We don't say the P word anymore. And I'm not talking about paedophile. You'd say that all you like. So Der Spiegel tells us that Mr. Putin, up the road here, and Mr. Trump in the White House, the guys who are actually looking to end this conflict, this brewing conflict that the West, of course, started. Everybody knows that. The dogs in the street know it. Come on, let's face it. Get over it. You guys started it out there, West, and Russia finishing it. End of story. But the Americans, Russians are talking to each other. Europeans are only talking to each other as well. So that's not going anywhere. And they're the villains. Who, pray tell, my dear sidekick, would be right now being rolled out as the hero of this scene?
I have a person exactly for this role. He's old. He barely can speak.
Yeah.
He doesn't know left from right.
Retarded.
And he also sold Ukraine's future for Burisma funds.
And retarded. Libtarded. Amazingly, they seem to have broken into the sarcophagus of Sleepy Joe. Now, we got great material out of Sleepy Joe. When Sleepy Joe sort of fell over for the last time, we thought, this is the end of the Moscow Mules. We can't possibly go forward because Sleepy Joe became such a stalwart of our show, right? How wrong were we, you know? I mean, we've had plenty of material, you know, maybe sadly. But Sleepy Joe has been rolled out again, and he's asked people to consider, never forget who you are, Huggy. We are the Moscow Mules. We're always going to be the Moscow Mules. But we're actually the Moscow Mules, right? We know who we are. Mr. Biden has decided to change the name of the United States. There was a big outcry, remember, when Trump said he was going to change it to the Gulf of America. He didn't like the Gulf of Mexico, so it's the Gulf of America. Sleepy Joe has changed the name of the United States to, basically, AmeriGotIt. Yeah, check it out. AmeriGotIt. Yeah, it's a new country. And maybe it's a country for people who are asleep while standing up, people who don't know their own names, people who use robots to sign very important documents, or people who sexually assault people who work for them. Yeah, who knows? Run the video.
As long as we keep the faith, summon hope and get back up and remember who in the hell we are. We're the United States of America. Got it.
So proud.
Come on, America. Got it. God, when I hear the word America, got it, I just feel so flush. Oh, yeah, you feeling it?
Absolutely.
Let's do it, America. Got it. Give me a t-shirt here. University of America. Got it. America. Got it Airlines. You know what I love to drink on a Friday night? With my America. Got it burgers. Some genuine Jack Daniel's AmeriGotIt Tennessee whiskey. Got it? Now, of course, we're fans of the Big Don here, right? We're kind of fans, but we feel like we're close family. We can say when he's being stupid, and we can say, no, stop, Don, do that. And, okay, I'll do it. We got the best people here. You know, so we do support the Big Don when he's doing good things, and we kind of give out about him when he's doing bad things. Doing bad things, like invading or bombing, or blowing the out of ordinary people doing their thing. Now, you might say, oh, these are drug dealers. Well, maybe when you crush an economy with sanctions, Don, and you force people into the drug trade because the only thing they can make money doing, hello, check out the sanctions on Venezuela. You've crippled the country, much like in Cuba, much like in, you know, Iran. You know, it doesn't get you anywhere. You know, you're not that popular over there. So invading Venezuela, or pretending you're going to invade Venezuela, it's bad. We don't think it's a good idea here in the Moscow Mules, do we, Doggy?
That's right. And that's why, Che, we are not Nobel Peace Prize winners.
That is why we are not Nobel Peace Prize winners. Now, I think the Big Don was kind of pissed off when he was like standing there with his eyes closed, he was just waiting, I'll feel my Nobel Peace Prize. And instead, the Nobel Peace Prize did not arrive. And that is actually why I think...
Yeah, my watch just fell off. That was good. Maybe my FSB monitoring device just fell out. Okay. No, can you come again? Lublyanka? No. Oh, sure. No,
so I actually think the reason Machado isn't getting the backing she should be getting, you know, because she's in Venezuela, country with the biggest oil reserves on earth. Now, that's nothing to do with the fact that the U.S. wants to potentially invade, right, Agi? What?
Well, it's all about democracy.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Not about the oil. Yeah. I think the fact that the Big Don basically had his Nobel Peace Prize stolen for stopping all these 157 wars, like the one that's currently raging in Thailand and Cambodia. Shh, don't say a word about that. Or the one that's going on right now down the road in Ukraine. No. Yeah. So I think he was so pissed off about that, that he's not going to back this woman. He doesn't like her. I really believe that. I think that's the Don. That's the Donna. Don't bring her in the office. I don't. Because anyone else would be rolled out front and center, right? And she's so desperate now to, you know, impress the big Don. You know, even when she got the Nobel Peace Prize, she said, I will give it to him. He can have one of my Nobel Peace Prize. He can take the prize. She was going to give the thing away to the big Don. Now she's actually saying, invasion is a good thing. What are you talking about? Invasion is no problem. I like it. It's no problem. It's a muy bueno invasion, yeah? Okay, you can take all the oil, take everything. Take everything you want, you know? It's like a British cop at someone's house or shop is getting robbed. Take it all, you know? Yeah, that's what Machado was saying. That's why she's probably so unpopular in Venezuela. And the big man, the big dancer, he's still in charge over there. Yeah, for sure. Imagine suggesting that your own country getting invaded is a good idea.
That's why we will never get Nobel Peace Prizes.
Exactly. Run the video, will you?
Hello, David Rasmussen, Swedish Radio. Yesterday, the US seized a ship outside the coast of Venezuela. Would you welcome a US military intervention in Venezuela?
Look. Some people talk about invasion in Venezuela, the threat of an invasion in Venezuela, and I answered, Venezuela has been already invaded.
No.
We have the Russian agents. We have the Iranian agents.
No.
We have terrorist groups such as Hezbollah, no. Hamas, operating freely in accordance
Hezbollah
with the regime.
Hezbollah and Hamas are in Venezuela? News flash. Who's announced this? Kaya Kallas? Just like the Chinese and the Russians have nothing to do with ending the Second World War. Hamas and Hezbollah are in Venezuela.
Venezuela is a rightful Israeli soil.
Of course, I should have known it. We've chosen to end this episode on a particular video, which shows a forest in Kupiansk, where some of the most fierce fighting has happened. There's no bodies, no dead people, no evident destruction. But what you can see is a web, like a giant spider is living there. A web of fiber optic cables that have been draped across this devastated forest. It's an eerie, eerie thing. No condemnation from the liberal left about the destruction of the environment, the massive graveyards which are actually polluting the water in Ukraine. Can you imagine the scale of death and destruction? And what do they want to do? End it as soon as possible. They want to keep it going as long as possible. These are the people we're dealing with in Europe, for sure. Run the video, Augie.
It does look like a, you know, magic forest where a giant spider lives in.
It's the spider
horrifying.
The spider of war. Yeah.
Do you want a nice European?
It looks
forest?
Exactly like a giant spider web, like in the summer morning you might see. It's crazy.
I guess the next forest like this will be what, Schwarzwald?
Oh yeah, that's what's coming soon to a forest near you. So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. As usual, we've loved making it and we're really glad you joined us from around the world, as we mentioned. And something that sort of struck Augie and I as we were putting together this week's show was just how absurd reality has become. We're living in a post-truth reality where people who are dedicated to war and continuing war, can you imagine, are now portraying themselves as the people who want peace. Freedom of speech is erased and banned in order to propagate freedom of speech in the European Union. Journalists traveling around the Union are getting deported for trying to tell the story of how much and how much corruption and how much profit has been made from war. It's everywhere. From the destruction of the environment to the reality of someone who's trying to invite Vietnam 2.0 into our country is awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Quite remarkable stuff. But maybe some of us spot it. Maybe it might be just Augie and I left here in the little rabbit hole, peeking out at the giant spider as he gobbles up the ordinary people. But remember this, there's much more of us than there is of them. The elites are only a very small minority, and one day the emperor's clothes are going to drop off, and we're going to be here to narrate. We're definitely going to be here same time, same place next week. So we really hope you join us. We'd love to have you along. Until then, mind yourselves.